I love her. I love her very much. I've never had a feeling like
shut
this.
Up.
And speaking of love, weren't you and I going to talk about that today?
Yes, we were.
But, well, couldn't you manage to arrange your time so you could have a little fun, too?
Okay.
Hey.
Fair enough. So, I just looked at one of my notes and it says this girl's tits are all the way out.
Whomst? Which particular?
One of the girls in the art class, but we'll talk about that later.
Oh my god. Okay, yes.
Do you have notes?
Order of events. No. Yes, I have notes. I have notes. Nerd. You know what? I can't call you a nerd. I did the exact same thing as you.
We're both.
I knew you would, so I had to come to the table prepared.
You knew I would? That's funny.
I knew you would, so I had to also.
Could I appreciate it? If you didn't come with notes, I'd be like, how do you know what to say?
Bro, don't you... I have an eidetic memory, so I don't need notes. I don't need notes. You know what? I actually told my dad... I said, do you want to watch this movie with me? He said, yes. I said, great. I'm going to keep this light on so I can take notes. And he literally made fun of me for being a fucking nerd. And then was like, and I was like, Dad, this is literally the whole podcast. This is the whole reason that we're doing the podcast. He's like, oh, I thought you wanted us to have a discussion after. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, we could if you want. He's like, no, that's nerd shit. I don't want to do that. He wasn't having it.
Dominic's like, it's past 6 p.m.
But yes, I
no
have notes.
Think. Amazing.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No think, no top, no shirt, no shoes, no think.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the policy.
That's a good bumper sticker.
Make it happen, TM. Hey, everyone. Welcome to VomCom. We're very pleased to have you here. We're literally so pleased to have you here.
We're literally We're very pleased to be here ourselves. Very excited to have you here to VomCom, our podcast about rom-coms, the ones that we love to hate and then hate to love. And then the hate has an asterisk because hate is a very strong word and we're not about hating the things that we really like anymore in 2021, you know?
Yeah. Guilty pleasures are over. They're
guilty
canceled.
Pleasures are canceled. The term guilty pleasures, canceled.
We don't do guilty pleasures because we don't do guilt. Pure, unadulterated, no shame, no filter. We're here to spread the love. No, but it's true. It's like, I mean, really, why would you feel guilty about something that brings you pleasure is the bottom line, right? Like,
exactly.
It's the patriarchy, huh? And capitalism. Okay. So
starting off strong.
We do not subscribe.
I think
you know why I started off strong?
What?
Because I am a radical, just like Lainey Boggs.
Lainey Boggs.
The protagonist of our film of the week. But we'll get into that after we do a quick land acknowledgement.
Yes. We'd like to acknowledge that the recording of this podcast takes place both in the region of Peel, which is part of the treaty lands and territory of the Mississaugas of the Credit.
And also Ottawa, which was built on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin Nation territory.
Cool.
So, kind of hinted not so subtly at it earlier, but our film of the week is, we're starting off strong.
Starting off with like quintessential rom-com, I think.
It really is in so many ways. Should we say the title?
Yeah. We watched She's All That and we're going to talk about She's All That.
It's She's All That. That's what we're talking about. And what an absolute bouquet of tropes this movie is.
Truly. I think this movie came out in 1999. Oh, that's what I meant to do before, was read a little bit about when it came out and how it was received and all that kind of stuff. I forgot to do that because I got so excited to just talk to you.
Yep. I guarantee we'll have enough content to fill like the amount, the quota of how much we want.
Oh, yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, good point. Well, we were alive in 1999. What do you remember from 1999?
Barely anything. I remember... I don't really remember much. I remember I was about to come to Canada. I don't even know if I had been told about that decision yet, but I remember Y2K being a thing and then everyone older than me just being scared of it. And I was just like, sorry, explain to me the logic. And then it happened and then nothing happened. So
yeah. I was like, okay. Mind calendar.
Yeah.
Prequel.
Yeah. I guess I was like, okay, I guess that wasn't really a thing anymore, so I'm not going to worry about it. That's all I remember from 1999.
I am not that much older than you, but I think I have a better recollection of that time.
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe the reason I have a recollection of better than you is because I'm older than you, but it's not even a good excuse, so I don't know. But I have most of my memories of 1999, I was in elementary school. My biggest concern was, could I get my mom to get me the Bedazzled Taurus t-shirt from La Senza Girl Amazing. To match the Bedazzled jeans that I had got the previous week. And the biggest thing was, the Y2K was a huge thing. Everyone was obsessed with Y2K. There was like a book about it that was at the Scholastic Book Fair that year called Y2K9.
Oh my God.
This is how much... Yes. And it was about a dog who stopped the apocalypse. Right? Amazing.
But
everyone thought Y2K was... People thought Y2K was going to be the end of the world because apparently all of the digital devices were not... aligned to go from 1999 to 2000, but it turns out that was not a problem after all. A little anticlimactic.
I like that was the fact that the computer couldn't process 2000 meant that the world was gonna explode.
Yeah. Not really sure where the root of that came from. No. But anyways, the cultural context I remember.
Yeah, so 1999 is when this movie came out, on the precipice of the millennium, and I think this movie was, like, the first of, like, the teen movies, because, like you said, it's a bouquet of tropes, which means all of the movies that came after it have parts of this movie from it, you know?
It was the blueprint.
It was one of the first ones. Mm-hmm. I love this movie. Watching, I haven't seen it in a couple of years. I know I rewatched it like a couple years ago, but rewatching it like twice this past Friday and today. Also, today's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Love Day. What a great day to start our rom-com podcast. It's perfect. It's like we planned it.
It's almost like we planned it, which we absolutely didn't. God.
No, we're very casual women.
Yeah, no, we're this. What? I didn't even know it was Valentine's Day. What are you talking about?
Watch it twice this week. Just remember how much I love this movie. I think you can easily dismiss it and be like, oh, it's so silly and blah, blah, blah. Because there are a lot of things that are silly about it, which is great. But that's also a choice. I think the older I've gotten, I've realized that a lot of the silly things from our youth were all choices. You know, it doesn't always have to be serious and realistic to life. It can be campy and silly and not believable, but it's fun. And that's important.
Yeah, like there's definitely like there's a moral to this story, but I don't think there's any there's no like what's the word I'm looking for when you have like a there's no like preconceived notion of this being like a serious movie. So, you know, you go into it being like, there's going to be laughs. And then you get, and then your heart gets touched along the way.
someone brushes past your heart.
Freddie Prinze Jr. and Rachel Lee Cook just slow dance past your heart and it accidentally touches and causes a chain reaction.
Watching this again has reminded me how much I love Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yes.
Love. Right, also, just realized it, like just found out, because after I watched the movie, I obsessively Googled and looked up every like piece of media to be what people are talking about.
Did you just find out what he's doing now?
No. Well, yeah, I kind of found out what he's doing now. He's a space Latino, like in the Star Wars universe.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So one, whoa, I found out that whoa, he's whoa, Latino.
What?
He's Puerto Rican. I don't think he's full Puerto Rican, but he is.
This is brand new information.
I know. This is how I felt on Friday. Yeah. And I didn't text you because I wanted to tell you here, but he's Puerto Rican.
I'm so glad you saved it.
Yeah. He's Puerto Rican. And then he's also voicing a character. I can't remember the character's name because it's a bunch of crazy letters together. Mm-hmm. He's voicing a character on like one of the Star Wars cartoons. So he's also a space Latino. He's up there.
My favorite subsect of Star Wars people.
The space Latinos. So he's up there with Oscar Isaac. and Diego Luna and Pedro Pascal, and then it's Freddie Prinze Jr. Freddie Prinze Jr.
That explains why he was weighing in on the Gina Carrera drama.
Yeah.
Because he was on Twitter and posting, he posted this, like, meme from, like, Jewel on the Holograms, like, that 80s cartoon of, like, one of the characters bitch-slapping another one.
Yeah.
And, like, that was his response.
Yeah, because he's in the universe. But, yeah, I found out he's Latino after I was obsessively Googling him. And I just, like, looking at him after, I was like, oh, I just thought he was, like, a white person who was very tanned, you know?
But then, I assumed he was white as well.
Yeah. But then looking at him, I was like, oh, that makes a little sense. But I love him. I really love him. And his dark eyes and his, like, big full lips.
Don't even get me started. Don't even go down this rabbit hole of how dreamy Freddie Prinze Jr. is. Oh my
god, so dreamy. Literally,
and he has, like, that little scar on his chin.
He has a little scar on his chin. I know. And then when he's, like, he's really always intense.
He's so intense. He's always, like, every other shot of him where he's, like, it's like the kind of acting where you can, like, see the wheels turning behind his eyes. He's got, like, this, like, frowny, deep furrowed brow face and, like, those sweet little eyes. He's just so handsome.
I know, so handsome. I love him so much. I guess we should just, like, start talking about it. So I talked about rewatching it and how I felt and realizing I loved it a lot. Right. Most of my notes, like, throughout, as I'm going through it, there are several times where I'm like, I love this movie so much. I love Freddie Prinze Jr. so much. Several times I wrote this down.
My notes were all like, whoa, I did not know that this person was in it. Mm-hmm. Or, wow, I totally forgot that this, what a stacked cast. I forgot that half these people were in this movie.
Yeah.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, Lil' Kim, Usher.
Usher was in it.
In a like, pretty large role. Yeah.
Lil' Kim, that I completely too, was so forgot funny. About. Seeing Lil' Kim be kind of, like, demure and sweet is so funny.
I know, it was a little bit, I had to do a double take. Like, I did have to, because I kind of, like, brush past the credits at the beginning,
yeah,
which her name would have been in, but I didn't really, like, pay attention to the credits, and then I saw her and I was like, she looks a lot like Lil' Kim, but surely not. And then I looked it up and yep, sure enough, there's Lil' Kim.
Sure enough.
Which, wow, what a stacked cast.
Absolutely stacked cast. Yeah, so Freddie Prinze Jr., Rachel Lee Cook, who's adorable, who else is in here? I don't know the main girl's name. What's her face? Taylor Vaughn.
Oh, Taylor Vaughn.
My god.
The Regina George of the She's All That cinematic universe.
What a character.
Were we supposed to feel bad for her at the end? Right, we were supposed to feel bad for her, right? Because it's like her life's over now that high school's over. We can get to that.
Yeah.
then, Gabrielle Union was Gabrielle in it, Union, like a pretty who sizable looks role.
The exact same.
Yes.
Looks the absolutely exact same.
Like, you know how the fashion from the 90s comes back around? Like, you could show me a photo of Gabrielle Union, like, from today, dressed up in, like, a similar outfit, and tell me it's a screenshot from She's All That, and I would believe you.
I would believe you, too. Who else is in this? Paul Walker! So hot. I know he's a dick. He's an absolute douchebag. I know. Every word that came out of his mouth, I was like, dickhead. But I could not get over how hot he is.
I know what you're going to say. Wait. Oh, I thought you were going to say that even though he was such a huge chode the entire movie, the one scene where she comes up from the basement and he's like, ooh, woo, Lainey, do you want to go to prom with me? And he's standing there and he's like,
he's like, you could
even. I'm just a boy in a tuxedo asking you to go to prom with me. I was like, whoa. I'm like, no, think. My brain shut off. I don't know what happened. And then I was like, whoa. I had to shake my head.
Oh my god. Okay. So hot. Okay, let's go through the entire movie and then we'll get to all the points where he shows up and and just, like, gush over how fucking pretty he is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Just a little caveat to anyone who's listening. You know, this is our first time doing this, so we're experimenting. And also, I have ADHD, so if it jumps around a lot, don't notice it.
Let's go. Don't tell me that it is jumping around a lot, because I am aware.
I do. It's called my brain. Not accept constructive criticism. Thank you. Moving on. Okay, so the movie opens. Movie opens. Immediately, like I said earlier, we are thrust into the mind of Lainey Boggs, who is a radical. She's making collage art.
Oh,
you know it's over.
Cutting out headlines, dipping it in water and paint. And then paper mache-ing it to her canvas.
Get him.
Get him. Right on. And then she's like, oh my God. And then when she's in the art class later and she's like, I read about this riot. She's like, this piece reflects the pain of that night. And then her like black art teacher is like, cool. So. So good. Like, Lainey, your heart's
That's
in the right.
Lainey.
Good for you. Thank you for being an ally, Lainey. I appreciate it. But what else you got going on?
Mm-hmm.
Like, your heart's in the right place, dude. Thank you. Thanks for being, like, aware. But stop hiding behind it, you know?
Yep. Classic.
Classic.
Classic, tough girl. She's a tough art girl.
Yeah. So setting.
And you know she's an art girl because she is constantly splattered in paint and wearing overalls.
Splattered in paint, wearing her
art. And just
art...
dropping paint supplies everywhere.
Like, literally, like, covered in paint, wears her, her fucking art smock to school. Mm-hmm. Like, she's wearing it when she. This is also crazy. Like, I get it's a movie, whatever, but she wakes up and she immediately goes and does art in the basement mm-hmm. that no one's allowed in. And then she goes and gets her brother breakfast and then they go to school. How do you have all this time before school? I literally slept.
They wasted no time in being like, Lainey is the caregiver.
Yeah, yeah. I like, obviously, they set up who she is, what she's about. That's it. This is it. Family. Art and family. That's it. That's all she's about. Mm-hmm. And her art smock that she goes to school in. I could not believe she did not take off the apron. But it's fine, Lainey. That's all you're about. Cool.
Can you imagine doing that much in the morning before you go to school?
No, this is what I'm saying. I literally woke up to the last absolute second I could be asleep and then had to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Who? So yeah, goes to school. Everything's great. Mr. Prez shows up with his personalized license plate. Also,
oh my God.
You're student body president and you get a license plate that says Mr. Prez. Like, these teen movies really make me question what high school life is in America.
Yes, and I'm doing a little improv here. That particular, like, the entrance scene of Freddie Prinze Jr. where he pulls up with the Mr. Prez license plate into his Mr. Prez reserved parking spot and then walks through the door wearing his Mr. Prez Letterman jacket walk by his Mr. Prez portrait on the wall, which he stops and lovingly looks at before moving on, do rom-coms... And this might be a larger topic. This might be something that we dig into later, but do rom-coms exist in an alternate universe? Because what the heck is going on? This is crazy.
This is what I mean about, like, when you're younger, you're looking at it and you're like, that's not realistic. That's not what real life is like. Well, no, dude, it's a movie. It's supposed to be, like, heightened. It's supposed to mean that he's so revered as this 18-year-old genius.
Oh my God. So for those of you who couldn't have seen that, Catherine's eye roll was just so, it caused like tsunami waves. It was so big.
They're just like, he's a big deal. Basically, the point of all of this is that he's a big deal. My favorite is when he walked up to his own photo with the smile that he had. And then turns around and has the exact same smile on. Like, that's comedy, man. That's really funny. And he's going around and just saying hi to everybody. Saying hi to literally everybody, which is nice. But he's getting everybody's names wrong, which is very funny. But it's just like he even bothers to say hi. Like, aw, of course everyone's in love with him.
Everyone's in love with him.
Everyone's obsessed with
him. Freddie
Prinze Jr. It's Freddie Prinze Jr.
Freddie Prez Jr.
What else? What happens? So you see everybody. You meet Paul Walker. You meet Dulé Hill, who I love, Dulé Hill, from the TV show Psych.
Oh, who played Preston?
Yeah, who played Preston, yeah.
Who is, I will go to bat for, this is the best character in the whole movie.
Oh, yeah. He's so cool. He's, like, the voice of reason, but he's also really silly and funny and is a teenage boy in the sense of in the middle of playing volleyball, like, he stops and stares at boobs. Like,
yeah,
it's not like he's like, oh, I'm over and I'm above all of these things. And he's a rich black dude from a rich black family. Amazing. We love to see it, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, and then we meet Paul Walker. I love, like,
a fire sign if I ever saw one.
He's so much bigger than Freddie Prinze Jr. Like, they're both kind of the same height, but he's so much, like, thicker. And it's just looking at both of them.
You notice,
like,
that too, huh?
Yeah. he's so pretty. And his skin is so, his skin is so tan. His hair is so blonde and his eyes are so blue.
He is literally from the California skit on SNL. Like,
yeah, he
the
really
way
is.
He fits that even so
his,
perfectly.
Even his voice is very funny. The very exaggerated, like, surfer dude voice he puts on is so funny.
Yeah. It's so bro-y.
It's so bro-y.
I'm trying to think of, like, one of his lines. He just, like, it is like surfer dude bro. That's, like, a good way to describe it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then I love all the introductions in this movie. It's great. You see the guys, you see the girls. Also, did we mention what She's All That is kind of, like, based off of? Based off of My Fair Lady.
No.
Based off of My Fair Lady / Pygmalion.
Just a little bit of education for you.
Just a little bit of education for you, just so you guys don't forget that I am an English major.
Don't know if you, yeah.
A drama
not
major.
Not really sure if you knew this, but actually Catherine is really big, like, she's an English major, and she's got a lot of experience of, like, drama theater, so.
But most of the rom-coms I think we're going to talk about, not most, I don't want to say most, but a lot of rom-coms are based on, like, classical texts, but making them accessible to the teens of today, you know?
Get them.
So yeah, based off of Pygmalion, which is the Greek story of this guy who made his perfect woman out of marble, and then she got brought to life because a god saw him admiring her, and they're like, oh yeah, cool, he deserves...
He was like, whoa.
Yeah, he deserves, he deserves to fuck his own creature.
And the gods were fair and just.
and then My Fair Lady is based off of that. So My Fair Lady, as we know, the George Bernard Shaw play, based off of this woman of the streets who has been brought in and is made to be respectable by a man.
They really softened that in the Audrey Hepburn one. Eh? They were like, she sells flowers on the street corner.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
She's a flower seller.
She's a flower
And that's
seller.
Not on that.
I remember being in
and
class.
And we're
going
to shine her up real nice.
I remember being in class and then they were like, yeah, well, that was a euphemism for her being a prostitute. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I was yesterday years old when I figured that out. Like... Someone had to tell me. I was like, oh no.
But yeah, so just in case anybody overlooks this piece of film, overlooks She's All That as being an important piece of cinematic history, it has roots in literature. Okay, so
classical or so.
Might
want to jot that down.
So yeah,
there's actually, I read, so of course, just like you, after, like, watching it, I went online and I was, like, doing all this, like, just Googling around, looking at photos and stuff like that. Googling around. Is that something you're
saying? Anyway. Yeah, that was very
convincingly
human.
So I found this
human.
One, like, definitely not an alien in a skin suit. Trust me. I was reading this one article that was, like, it was kind of, like, critique of She's All That.
Yeah.
Because it was this young girl who was, like, when I was young, I was a nerd. And I watched this movie and I loved it because I thought, hope. But then I realized when I was grown up that it was a fucked up story because he only liked her because she was hot. Ha. And then I was, like, thinking about it and I was, like, rewatching it and I was like, actually, I don't necessarily agree with that.
No, I don't either.
Because, I mean, do we want to get into it now or do we wait a little
bit? No, let's get into it now.
I think the way that the like, kind of bio for it on Netflix was the class jock gets dumped and then gets in a bet to make over a girl who he, but then he has to resist falling in love with his new creation or the person he created or something. And I was like, okay, that's not how I remember it, but like, let's watch it. And I watched it and I was like, that's not a good summary at all.
No, it's a terrible one.
Because what it is she, yeah, like, yes, she does get a makeover, but let's be real. She looks the exact same with shorter hair and plucked eyebrows. Okay, she's still the same, like, waif bird-like woman, just dressed in a red silk dress instead of overalls.
Oh my god, the...
Right? So she doesn't...
Yeah.
They take out her ponytail and it's game over for everyone. Literally... Literally, it's like, it's a story about how she, like, they help each other grow. Yeah. That's the root of it,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. That's what I was thinking about, too, when I was watching this movie. I realized, like, it's on the spectrum of being so campy, because you have things like the way Taylor Vaughn is, mm-hmm. and the real world tie-in, mm-hmm. and all of those things of, like, Zach dreaming... having a nightmare about the real world, and then like all of these things are so campy, so silly, and then you have moments of like real emotional, like heartfelt moments that ground the movie, and that's why you care about these characters. Like when she's talking to her dad, when he comes into the basement at the end, when he's talking to her dad, when her and
so my favorite
scenes. I know so when Zach, when she tricks him into performing at her like art show, at her art, at her performance art thing, and then it starts off being a little bit like, I was gonna say, it starts off being a little bit hacky, which is pun intended, because he then because he remembers he has a hacky sack in his pocket, which hilarious, carries it around, that's so funny, so 90s.
Very on brand.
So he goes up on stage, has to perform, pulls out his hacky sack and just starts saying like hacky sack. And then it starts going into being like, then you get to see what his deepest fears are and what his expectations and all that stuff. You like, all of a sudden it's, you mm-hmm. see this jock dude who's smiling at a photo of himself and then is on stage, like bearing his, what he's emotionally going through, like 20 minutes into the movie. That's crazy. And then like, yeah.
There's so many moments like that where they trick you into...
They do.
They trick you into, like, being like, oh, it's like, oh, this is a funny parody of performance art, which, by the way, is so spot on. Even though it was supposed to be ridiculous. Come on. I lived in Montreal for 2 years. That's not that out of the depth, you know? Like, I could have... I went to a warehouse show one time on a Friday night that was... different than that. Really not very different from the performance art scene, except there was just more naked people. Okay? Just a little context. So I was watching that, and I was kind of like, oh, this is funny. It's a parody of, like, performance art, whatever. He gets up. Oh, my God. Like, it's a moment of her being like, hi, got you. I'm trying to, like, scare you away because I'm closed off emotionally. Lady Boggs. But then he gets up on stage and he like, everyone loves it, first of all, and he like genuinely has a moment, and then like that conversation that they have after they leave is maybe my favorite scene in the, it's so short, but it might be my favorite scene in the whole movie, because it's so genuine. It could have been improvised. It was so like, that's a great like showcase of Freddie Prinze Jr.'s acting, because he was just like, all of a sudden, like you see him, he's this jock, he's this president, blah, blah, blah. In that moment, he was a kid.
He was so
excited about doing something for the first time, getting a rush.
Getting a rush from something that he's never done and never considered before. And like something that made him emotionally like vulnerable in a room full of people who didn't know him, and they still like applauded him. When in his school, people just applaud him and like him because of all of these things that he has. Like, he's a student body president. He has a hot girlfriend. He's on the soccer team. And he's like one of the smartest kids in school. Also, I really appreciate that he is smart.
Should we do a little, before we go further, should we do like a little synopsis?
Sure, let's do a little
so people who haven't seen it in a while, and then we can dive right back in where you were, because you know, this is, hey look people, this is part of the, you're on the, get coming in on the ground floor with us developing this podcast.
This is what you signed up for. Anybody who is friends with us and are listening to this, this is normal, this is how you know we sound, but it's possibly hard to follow, but anyways, let's do a little synopsis. of the movie. Would you like to go?
Okay. I'll start, okay, and then I'll pass the ball to you. Oh, I'll pass God. The hacky sack over
Hack
to
that
you.
Sack over here.
Got him.
Is that hacky sack lingo? Oh,
man. Hacky sack. So, She's All That is the story of the premise is that Freddie Prinze Jr.'s character, a.k.a. Zach Seiler, is the most popular kid in school. He's in his senior year, 6 weeks away from graduation. Side note, 4 weeks away from prom. This is important. It's an Easter egg you'll need later. And he is very popular. He's got all the trappings of popularity and success. He's got a hot girlfriend. He's got a like third highest GPA in the entire class, which he drops later. He is obviously very attractive. He's got a nice group of friends. He's, you know, he's got it all.
He is all that.
His parents are rich. Anyways. He is all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or so we think. Because, okay, over to you, Catherine.
Because, then are you saying that, so his very hot, super popular girlfriend, I know, his
We're
very
so
hot
in sync.
Super popular girlfriend then ends up dumping him, which is a surprise. 4 weeks away to prom? Like, that's insane. His reputation, what's so funny to me is that when she breaks up with him, his friends, Paul Walker, oh, whose name is Dean. Paul Walker's mm-hmm. like, bro, this is your legacy mm-hmm. on the line. Like, are you telling me Taylor Vaughn is such a big critical, plays such a big and critical role to this boy's legacy, who is student body president, is a, what, captain of the soccer team, I guess, and rich and has the fourth highest GPA mm-hmm. in their entire class. Taylor Vaughn is the one who is going to jeopardize his legacy just because she's hot?
Woof.
So she breaks up with him. Yeah, she dumps him very embarrassingly for Matthew Lillard, whose name is Brock
AKA
Hudson.
Shaggy
and
from the live-action Scooby-Doo franchise.
A.K.A. Shaggy.
Also starring Freddie Prinze Jr.
Lillard, who I love. Also starring Sarah Michelle Gellar, but yeah. Taylor Vaughn dumps him for Brock Hudson, who is also a reality TV star, was on season 2 of The Real World. Zach calls him the dyslexic volleyball player, which is so funny.
That's his bio.
Just like the way, just, that's his bio. That's his describe, the spark notes of him when she's like, yeah, Brock Hudson, he was on season 2 of The Real World, and he goes, the dyslexic volleyball player.
Also, that shows you the vintage of this show, that it was season 2 of The Real World.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So she dumps him in a very embarrassing way. The entire mm-hmm. school knows. The entire school feels
cringe.
Sorry for him. And Zach, he's got to maintain his image,
Zach
right?
Seiler, after
all.
All
of these expectations.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's Zach mm-hmm. Seiler. And, like, Dean, his best friend, keeps telling him, this is your legacy at stake. So then he is coerced into being like, you know what, screw her, I'm gonna do much better, like anybody can be uh-huh. Taylor Vaughn, which then leads
which is
them
the setup
the bet
the bet
which is the setup for the bet that they make. So essentially Zach's hypothesis mm-hmm. is that you can take any mm-hmm. girl, put her in different clothes, mm-hmm. and then as long as you have the right guy and right clothes on her, she's basically Taylor Vaughn. Any girl can be Taylor Vaughn.
Yep.
Because Taylor Vaughn's not that great. She's just got like
what is that line that he clothes. Uses to describe her? It's so funny. It's something like she's just a girl.
If you take away the
Yeah, what's
if
that
If you
line?
Take away the attitude and the fancy clothes or something, then you just have a C- GPA and a bad attitude or something. I can't remember. Something along those lines, but I just remember him digging at her, like, intelligence, and I was like, wow.
Big burn.
It was a big burn. Yeah. So, yeah, so that's what leads him and Dean to make a bet. And then when they agree on the bet, they're like, let's go shopping. I'm like, oh my god, this is so the
90s. I know. This movie would never get made today. And that's just one of the reasons.
It would never get made. Yeah. And then they're talking about this girl as she's walking by, and he's like, look at her. She's got good boobs.
Yep.
She's got good boobs, and she looks smart. Well, he says that she looks like Chelsea Clinton.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was...
We're both, like, laughing.
What a dated reference, but at the same time, I totally got it.
I totally got it. She looked exactly like Chelsea Clinton, which is very funny.
Wait. Was it? It definitely wasn't Chelsea Clinton, right?
No, okay. It couldn't have been. I also...
I mean, how big was the budget of this movie?
The second time watching, I was like, that wasn't her, was it? I was like, I don't think she would do that.
Start questioning your own reality.
But then they start, like, looking around amongst all the students and, like, picking girls. Mm-hmm. And then Dean's eyes land on Lainey Bugs. And mm-hmm. why does he look at Lainey Bugs, Molly?
Because she is the classic thing, the classic major flaw of all romantic comedy heroines, which is clumsy.
She's clumsy. She fucking fell.
She dropped all her paints everywhere like a putz. Lainey, she's hopeless. She drops like things. How are we going to work with this?
She fell. Yeah.
And then he goes, like, oh, okay. That it was so dramatic. Oh, not Lainey Boggs. Which, first of all, homie, Mr. President, Mr.
Prez,
you said you don't want to deal with this, but you know her first and last name, huh? Interesting. Because you got everyone else's name wrong. So, theory is, oh, interesting. So you haven't been eyeing her this whole time? This is a Juno situation. You know that whole thing in Juno when there's, like, the popular guy who's, like, obsessed with her and he's always, like, making fun of her? And she's like, bro, I know it's because you like me. And he's like, oh, that's what this is the whole time. That's my plot twist. I think it's, like, what do you call it when there's, like, a conspiracy theory? My conspiracy theory is that he, like, manipulated the situation to be like, no, not Lainey Boggs, the one who takes AP art and who has, like, super cute eyes and I love her glasses and blah, blah, blah. No, not her. Oh my please, God, guys.
I didn't
anyone
even notice.
Her. Yeah, not her over the girl who stores and collects and shows off her scab collection.
Ew.
Did you miss that part? One of the girls that they went over, she was showing people her scabs that she had kept. Yeah.
I missed that part. I think I was writing down how much I love this movie.
Wouldn't it be so funny if every time there was, like, a major plot point in the movie, you were just looking down writing, I fucking love this movie so much.
I was
much.
Just writing Freddie Prinze Jr.'s name. I was writing his name.
With a heart over the eyes.
That's not or far from the truth.
Catherine Prinze Jr. Just writing it out to see what it would look like.
Wow, I didn't
but
even
But yeah, he
that.
Was like... He was like, how could you guys choose this girl for me? Oh my god. This girl who wears overalls, who has paint on her face. Guys, no, please. She has a ponytail. I can't deal with this. I can't work with this.
She has a ponytail, a slight unibrow, and glasses, and chunky shoes, and Dean, please.
Oh, no.
He's like, I can deal with fat. I can deal with weird boobs. I can deal with all that. But
oh, yeah.
But... angry and inaccessible. But tiny little bird-like Lainey Boggs? Oh.
He's like, oh my god, weird boobs? Whatever. Inaccessible girl who's, like, artsy and maybe introspective? No, don't make me do it. No, fine, I'll do it, fine.
So then...
No, but, like, the whole thing is, like, he's like, this is out of my realm.
Yeah. But then,
obviously, he takes the bet.
Takes the bet. They make the bet. We don't hear the terms because that comes up later, which I appreciate. That's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
He goes up to Lainey mm-hmm. Boggs.
Exposition.
Goes up to Lainey Boggs, tries to talk to her in front of everybody, and she immediately is like, what the hell? And brushes him off and embarrasses him in front of all those people. And we love that.
Strike
one. We love to see that, you know?
Yes.
We love to knock people down. A peg or two.
We love a check.
We do.
Universe.
We love checks and balances. Yes. I love that her brother comes up mm-hmm. and he's... Did you hear what he said? Did he call her brother a spaz? Is that what he said? Okay.
Yes. He called him spaz like it was his name. Yeah. Kieran Culkin.
Little baby Kieran Culkin, who I love. He's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, calls him spaz
mm-hmm.
and he's like, he knows my name. And he's like, no, no, it's not your name. And then gets out of there. She yeets herself out of there, which is so, I love it. I love in movies when, like, a really attractive guy or, like, the popular guy goes and talks to the nerdy girl. And she's like, no, like, runs away. Like, it's obviously not realistic, but it's just very funny to me, the idea of, like, being either so thrown off by this attractive person that you need to just get yourself out of there, because I identify.
What, that's so far off from real life? Come on, girl.
We've all been there. So she blows him off. What?
Literally, have you ever had that experience, slight side note here. Have you ever had that experience where someone who's talked to you has been, like, taking you by surprise at how hot they are? You just, like, turn around and they talk to you and you're like, what?
Bro, you know that I have. You know that so many times in my life I've texted you. I have texted you times when it's happened.
Yeah, usually if I get a text that's no. I'm in trouble, girl. That's what it usually says. Okay, so anyways, moving on. So
she blows him off. Blows him off. He has a little conversation with his little sister, Anna Paquin, mm-hmm. who I love Anna Paquin, mm-hmm. but I don't like her but when that she's putting makeup. So much makeup on her face.
Exactly.
That eye makeup was a lot. She's a little raccoon.
It was a little bit Gerard Way for me.
Yeah, it was. So she's like, get to know her. Go to where she hangs out. Mm-hmm. Which then leads him to go to her place of work when she's wearing a falafel hat. And falafel the biggest hat, shirt yeah. that's ever been worn by a person literally in ever. The history of the world.
To this day.
I love how, like, I love that they put her in such baggy clothes mm-hmm. to hide the fact that later her body's going to be, like, a big reveal.
Bam and slammin', yeah.
Me
as if it was so not obvious through... that she is like this wayfish bird woman, like it's yeah she's, her little her wrists are like the size of a toothbrush. We've been new but anyways
we knew we can see underneath the sleeves. But yeah, so funny interaction about supersizing your falafel balls, obviously comedy. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get her attention also. Okay, so one of the things that I think makes this movie, again, so much of this is just attributing to the fact that Freddie Prinze Jr. is, like, a good actor. He spends a lot of the time, like, just looking at her.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that?
How could
He's
I
just,
not?
He's just, like, looking. He's just looking at her, like, yeah. so intensely.
Yeah.
For someone who, like, barely cared about who she was, he's,
that
like,
feeds into my
in
conspiracy theory. Hello.
Yeah, that he, like, been knew who she was, thought she was probably cute, but it's just, like, she's not, like, she doesn't cater to,
I need an excuse to make her have all the trappings of a prom queen. Did we ever say that part of the deal was that part of the bet was that Zach had to have Lainey Boggs win prom queen?
No, we didn't. I forgot that part.
It's okay, babe. We all are learning and doing new things for the first time. So,
so yeah, that's essentially it. He's like, I can definitely make this bitch prom queen in 6 weeks. In 4 to 6 weeks.
And during the course of this conversation, the script is so blatantly written by a group of adults trying to desperately figure out what teens sound like.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Throughout the movie. You have to, kind of, or movie. Else.
Major wiggage, you know?
Major wiggage. Oh, my God. I wrote down some of the worst ones. Okay. My least favorite one was when, in my least favorite scene, so maybe I was already on edge, but there's the pube pizza scene. I'm jumping ahead a little
bit.
Oh,
my God.
But he looks at the guy. Scene. And in order to instruct him to eat the pizza, he says, Hoover it. Bruh, ain't nobody said that since 1945, for starters. And then he looks at Kieran Culkin's character, and he does a little fist bump, and he goes, everything copacetic.
Oh my God.
Said no one ever! Shut up. Also, when teens call their Bart, like their Bert... their boyfriends or girlfriends, lover, I'll see you later, lover, pick me up at 7, lover, said no one ever, bitch, no one said that.
I hate that.
It's horrible.
When she said lover, I was like, ugh.
Did you vomit a little in your mouth?
I vomited a little.
Did you vom-com?
I did. I vommed and then I calmed.
And then you calmed down and went back to the movie. So what part were you at? You were at the part where, so they had just,
he shows up to her work.
Right, yes. And then she tries to blow him off again, right? And then the BFF. She tries to
blow him off again. Look. Yeah, I love her friend.
Yeah, again, another, friend another shorty in overalls. Overalls are like the, it's like the theme of the friend shorty group.
Shorty in overalls. You know how there's like the geeks and the nerds and the hot Asians.
The overalls? Overall squad?
And the hot Asians. There's a little clique of the overall squad. Mm-hmm. I would be part.
Well, clearly.
Well, clearly.
I mean, for anyone who's listening but hasn't, I mean, at this point I will have like posted maybe a little teaser trailer to show what we're wearing, but Catherine is dressed as pre-makeover Lainey Boggs, feet, overalls, a comfy sweater, and, oh my god, artful paint swatches on her face. Oh my god, I didn't even notice that I had... Ugh, I'm an artist, but I didn't even notice.
Oh, who, me? Does this mean I'm an artist if I have paint smudged on my face?
Well, you do have a mason jar that you're drinking your water out of as well, so it kind of points towards an artistic sensibility or two. Yeah.
Oh man, I don't drink out of regular glasses. did this vessel used to carry tomato sauce? Hell yeah.
All right, brother. Could you use recycle?
That's all the criteria for
as Lainey Boggs would say.
Yeah, so she tries to blow him off, mm-hmm. but her best friend is there, and her best friend, who Ben knew mm-hmm. that Lainey likes to not put herself out there when she should. Mm-hmm. And he says a really great thing. He's like, the most attractive guy in school is stalking you. Aren't you a little bit curious? Yeah, Lainey. You don't want to find out why? Like, I get it.
It's a little... You're scared. Yeah, it's a little... Because it's like, okay, first of all, in my opinion, it was so early on in the movie. This was the first time he had pursued her out of school. Is it considered stalking at this point? Perhaps not. But let me tell you, it does get to that
point.
So maybe a little premature for the line, but yes, it does get that way in the movie. It's a bit...
Yeah, but I mean, even when him he goes showing to her up house? To her place.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so, it's so cute, though.
I know, it's like, this is where my mixed emojis come in, because it's like, I know how the story ends, so I like it, but I also don't like that you showed up at her house and refused to leave. That might be a problem for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. But
he was invited. He was invited by her little brother.
Everyone in her life was conspiring to get her to open up, essentially. The best friend who was like, oh, you can't, Lainey's busy tonight going to a show, but don't worry, I'll give you my ticket. Okay? The brother, mm-hmm. like, was like, stick around. Literally everyone was like trying to.
But the brother was also selfishly being like the coolest guy in school.
Yes, that's true.
Is at my house. I definitely want to play Sega with him.
And by to invite him, I'm going to say Sega in the weirdest possible way.
Yeah.
Sega.
I'm going to say Sega. I'm going to say Sega and then do karate chops at the same time. Just at to the drive exact the same point time. Home. Just to drive the point home that I'm a little nerd and I love video games.
So but he's going to go and stay. He's going to stay. But then she's like, okay, fine. If you're going to be this persistent. I will come to the beach with you, which was the initial reason that he came to her house to get her to come to the beach with him. They go to the beach, apparently his spot.
But wait. Oh, that's later. We're jumping and talk about them. Yeah, we're jumping ahead because then she decides. So
they're the at best work friend still.
At the falafel place. Yes. Yeah. The falafel friend. Oh my God. The best friend gives.
His name is Jesse. Jesse's the Kirk name.
Yeah. Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson gives Zach Seiler his ticket to Lainey Boggs' performance art piece. Mm-hmm. Zach Seiler shows up like a good dude mm-hmm. in the cutest little outfit of his, like, big baggy white shirt.
Oh, my God. Yes. Costco 1999 collection. Shirt.
My God, so cute. And he's sitting there and he's like, whoa, this is weird, dude. This is real weird. And then
the fact that he was trying to like enjoy it though, he was like really weirded out, but then he was like, he goes to clap and no one else claps. He's like,
oh, it's not done.
No, got it. Got it. No, I'm reading the room. It's all good.
Yeah. And then after the performance, which is also a whack performance, but I mean, it's art. Art is interpretive. Literally.
Yes. Yes.
I'll
give you that.
She tricks him into going on stage and performing his own stuff, even though she knows he doesn't have stuff to perform.
Mm-hmm. She put him on the spot.
Yeah, that's when he starts. She put him on the spot. Mm-hmm. She's testing
it. Was a test.
Him.
It was a test.
She's checking
yes.
him.
Yes. Yep. She was like, one more for the universe, boys. Check him. Check him. Let's see if he can do interpretive dance or some kind of performance art. And guess what? Our golden yeah. boy, Zach Seiler, showed out. What did he do?
Yeah.
He did. Improvised. He improvised with what was in his pockets.
He yes-anded the hell out of that scene.
Yes. And
with
what did
hacky
he get?
Sack, which he found in the pocket.
Oh my God. I couldn't believe it.
He got a plus.
Imagine if you had to do a performance art piece right now with whatever you have in your pockets, what would it be? What do you got? Anything?
Oh, I got nothing in my pockets, but near me I have lip balm and mm-hmm. A highlighter pen.
I have Cheez-Its. I think I could use that for something. I could figure something out with that.
100%. Yeah. I have chocolate near me too.
Oh, that would work.
Yeah.
Anyways.
We definitely can.
So,
but yeah, he performs, he gets out his emotional, turmoil, whatever he's yep. going through, and there's a slow zoom on Lainey's face because she's like, whoa.
Yeah.
This hot jock actually has feelings.
Whoa, depth? What? Didn't expect this.
Whoa, depth? Not closing himself off to people? What?
Whoa. Vulnerability? Intensity? We love it. We love to see it.
We love to see it.
That performance was a little tiny. He took a tiny little emotional pickaxe and took a tiny little crack in her shield, in her wall.
Yep.
That she had built up to yep. the world, which we find out later why.
Yep. And then after they leave, and he's so excited. He's so excited and mm-hmm. so cute. And he's like looking at her the entire time.
I know.
She's barely looking at him, which is a good choice. I think it's a perfect choice, but I think it also cements as to why, like, you see him falling in love with her throughout the entire movie. Mm-hmm. I will argue that you don't really see her necessarily as much, but mm-hmm. I think she realizes it, like, after the fact. But you can see what, like, his whole process. You can see him thinking about it and, like, realizing that he really likes this person. He's looking at her all the time. It's just a lot. Like, women are suckers for dudes who look you in the eyes, you know? I've said this.
The bar is
this
so
is
low.
Important. The bar is so low. Like, look me in the eyes when we're talking.
Look me in the That's eyes it. And just possess you know? Hands.
Possess hands.
You don't need to do anything possess. With them. Just have them. Show
just
off.
Have them and, like, maybe trim your nails and then that's it.
Mm.
That's all you have to do.
I would say
but
that's
yeah.
a good point. This is also like a dating pointers podcast. You know, hey boys, what's up? Like, you don't need to do that much. Just maybe trim your fingernails and toenails too. Throw it in there.
Yeah. Oh, toenails for sure.
Toenails would be good.
But yeah.
As an added bonus. We think Zach yeah, Seiler trims his fingernails and toenails.
He for sure does.
For sure. For sure. He has clean sheets.
So they have.
I can tell.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
He does. His yeah. bed is made.
Mm-hmm.
His room is so clean.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have this little nice scene where they're walking and he tries to make the moves on her by just telling her that she has beautiful eyes. And she's like, oh boy, no thank you. And runs away from mm-hmm. him.
Literally.
Which yeah. is, I mean, fair because it is surprising to her
mm-hmm.
that he would like very like use a line on her, but I thought it was so sweet. He was like, what? Why? And then she leaves and he's like, what?
Okay, I gotta give kudos to like his communication in this scene, even though like yeah. it was a super corny line, but then he was like, instead of being like and just like using miscommunication as like a plot device, which so many movies do and it drives me crazy, he was like, Lainey, I don't get it, what did I do wrong? And she was like, fuck off, I'm getting a ride home with Mike or whatever the fuck his name was. And he
yeah.
was just like,
she's
left
like, this
there.
Is weird.
So yeah. she did not communicate well in that scene, but he did, to his credit.
No, but he did.
Yes
he did, because he's not a dummy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have the fourth highest GPA in the class mm-hmm. and be a dummy. That's what that was one of my notes too, when she like tricked him into like performing and talking or whatever about art.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this guy is a smart dude. You can't have the fourth highest GPA in your school and not be aware of, like, any art or any performance or anything, or be, like, critical. Like, what the heck?
That feeds into my theory even more. He's the master of this whole story. He's the puppeteer. Zach Seiler's the puppeteer. Oh, no, I don't know what to do. You're putting me up on a stage with spotlights? What's this? Hacky sack. Oh, yeah. Hacky sack.
Okay, what happens next?
Okay, after the hacky sack scene, I'm pretty sure it gets to... We see some, like, interspliced scenes of, like, Taylor and Real World Her girls. Guy. But, like, I don't really care about those scenes.
I don't really care either. I mean, it's just supposed basically, to show that she showing, made a mistake.
Yeah, they're basically showing that Taylor is kind of a, like, a short-sighted, kind of cold-hearted type of character. She's very self-centered, and it has a... She's very goal-oriented, I'll give her that.
Yeah. Good for you for having goals, but...
Yeah.
I mean, wake up.
Yeah. But then after... Wait, let me look at my notes. Let me consult the notes. I have so many notes on the area that we've already gone over, but I'm just going to go... is the next scene where he shows up at her house and he's like, come to the beach with me?
I think so, but you know... Yeah, but you know what I just saw?
What?
We didn't even talk about when she was in art class. And those fucking girls.
Oh my God, so the straight psychopath also... bullies.
Oh my God.
Of 80s movie ilk.
So
this
is
also the
thing. So, Lainey is really not, she doesn't have a group. Mm-hmm. She cares about a lot of things. She involves herself in a lot of things. But even in her art class, there are girls who are, like, fucking bullying her and telling her, and this is a trigger warning, to end her own life because it'll make her work more profound or whatever. Like, I don't even think they care that much about her work, but they're just essentially telling her to kill herself so that, like, just cause.
Yeah.
And, like,
like, that's no motivation to deal with. Other than just
no
being
motivation
psycho.
Other than just being a dick. Yeah. Just being a dickhead to this girl who's, like, middle class and you're a rich person. So, I mean, if in all fairness, no wonder she doesn't trust Zach.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. And, like, or, like, any of these people. I get it. But also, he's so cute, so. That's what gets me all the time.
But what if, unless... No.
Okay, I just wanted to talk about those fucking bullies who are insane. Because
they are
up later.
Literally, like, that's the type of, like, straight psychopath bully behavior you see in 80s movies. And then they've got the girl from, like, I'm a cheerleader being the one to, like, deliver the death blow. And I'm like, holy shit, I was not expecting that.
Oh my God.
Keep in mind, I've seen this movie before, like, multiple times. And I still forgot how savage that scene is. Like.
Yeah. I love her, like, introduction into that scene. That other girl who's drinking the latte and she's like, darkness rocks.
Yeah.
Like, those are one of the lines I'm like, wow, so 90s. Yeah. Oh, are we talking about darkness? Darkness rocks.
Oh, I could chime in on that. I can give my 2 cents. I love darkness.
Okay, so.
I wear eyeliner.
She runs away from she runs away from him, and he still pursues her by going to her house and showing up and greeting her dad.
Because of the bet.
Being very
polite. And nothing else.
Because of the bet and nothing else. But, like, introduces himself to his dad, to her dad. And then Simon, her little brother, sees him, runs outside, and they're all shooting the shit and talking and all that stuff, which is so cute.
I know.
I love that scene where he's like, hi, and he's just like, he's like all chill and with his arms crossed. I'm like, oh my God. And she comes out in, like, her overalls and she's like, what are you doing here? Just so clenched. She's like, can we have a moment? And her little brother's like, what? What did I do? And she's like, no, not you, him. And he's like, what did I do? So good.
Comedy, classic comedy.
So good. But yeah, he essentially coerces her into going to the beach with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to the beach and she's wearing her overalls with her little swimsuit underneath.
Because
you can't reveal her body yet.
Nope.
Cannot. No. But we have one.
But then
all of his other friends
now,
are there.
When his other friends arrive, of course, they say, "Zach, come help us with the stuff in the car, dude. Because that's how teens talk. And then they go to the car, and as they're coming back, they look, and Lainey is taking off her overalls, and Paul Walker delivers one of the absolute most...
Oh my god!
Most heinous lines. Something along the lines of, whoa, looks like Dorkosaurus got a good set of Bobos or something like that.
Oh yeah, he's like, look at the Bobos on Dorkosaurus.
That's the one.
Something along those lines. Look at the when he said Bobos, I lost it.
I slapped my forehead. I needed to feel physical pain to distract me from how horrendous that line was.
Oh my god. And then, like,
unbearable.
Freddie Prinze Jr.'s just staring, like, whoa, Bobos.
He was like, ooga, I'm not looking. What? It's for a bet. Leave me alone.
Oh, my God.
But, like, you know what? Something that surprised me about, like, this scene and a few scenes going on is that, like, all of the, like, rich kids up to that point had kind of been painted as, like, straight sociopaths. Like, so mean and for what? Yeah. And then in that scene, you see, like, Gabrielle Union's character being, like, really nice and sweet to her and kind of, like, encouraging a little bit and, like, joining her momentum and, like, matching her energy. And then, like, it turns out that, spoiler, when... Lainey gets nominated for prom queen, Gabrielle Union's character. What's her name? Do we know what the character's name was? I can't remember.
No. Anyways, I actually don't know.
She was the one to nominate her for prom queen. So there's this like really sweet girl who's like very like she was like just waiting for a moment to get away from Taylor's toxic ass. She was just waiting for the opportunity. And then like also like Preston's really nice to her. Just a few people are just like really nice, and I was just surprised by it because I was like used to this kind of like precedent that like the other people had set of like just being super mean to her and for no reason.
Yeah I know it. That's what makes it really nice too, because then I mean it's good that they are, because then she has to buy into the fact that like, oh, like these are actually really nice people, and then she has to quote unquote feel tricked about being in this group, and she's mm-hmm. like, oh, maybe it's not that bad. And then when something happens, she's like, ah, that's why I hate you.
I hate you. It's a little bit inferred rather than, or implied rather than explicitly said, but she's like, she has this like prejudice against rich folks.
Yeah. Because I mean, like the way that they treat her and then the way that they like look down at her dad and stuff, and her being middle class.
Oh, she's middle class.
But
she's got a really nice house. Ugh. She's got like this beautiful, her dad has this beautiful bungalow nice with a pool out back and like a nice big TV. I'm sitting there going, this bitch is poor? What in the 90s movie? What's going on here? What in the Disney Channel is going on here?
This bitch is poor?
But yeah, so ensue a volleyball montage scene where Preston gets distracted by Gabrielle Union's Bobos. And then the next scene is a bunch of them inviting Lainey to the house party at Preston's house later that night. And she's like, I can't. I have to clean. And he's like, oh, it's okay. I understand. And I'll drive you home. But then, plot twist, he shows up at her house. She's like, what are you doing here? He's like... I thought you were cleaning. She's like, no, I will be cleaning. Ugh, spoiler, that was an excuse. She wasn't really cleaning. And then he goes, don't worry, I brought the entire JV soccer team from school to clean your house for you, starring a very young Milo or Milo Ventimiglia, however you say his name. Did you notice him?
Ventimiglia? Yeah, yes. I sent you the gif of him.
Did you?
Because when I was looking up, I didn't notice at the time. And then I was when I was doing all of my like my she's all that research.
Right.
Someone had like just gifted that part of him.
That's fan behavior.
Like, yeah, that is 100% fan behavior. But yeah, he doesn't even have any lines.
No lines.
When I watched it the second time, I was like, oh my god, it's Milo Ventimiglia?
I literally...
Ventimiglia?
There's so many variations on what I understand his name to be, but I know his first name is Milo, a.k.a. Jesse from Gilmore Girls. So that's fine. That's all we need to know. But based AKA on the fact...
the guy from This Is Us.
This Is Us. This Is Us. Big old mustache, maybe some lamb chops, I think. Because it was the 70s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they go to... So now that she doesn't have her excuse to clean, he's like, well, now you can come with me to the house party at Preston's place tonight. And she goes, absolutely not. I have no clothes. I have a unibrow. And
only overalls. Some, I have no clothes and a unibrow.
Some smudges of paint on me. This is unacceptable, and we can't work with this. And can I just point out that her goddamn hair extensions are so heinous.
Oh, they're so terrible.
You can literally see the parts where her real hair, quote-unquote, blend into the extensions. And it filled me with a fiery rage, because the budget of this movie was through the roof. And they couldn't give her proper hair extensions.
Yeah. I saw those extensions, and I was like, oh yeah, they cut her hair. I'm like, this can't be her hair for throughout the entire movie.
It's like in an old episode.
And then I started,
you know,
the
old animations of Scooby-Doo, where you could tell what part of the screen was about to be animated, because it would be like maybe slightly higher quality or like more detail than the rest of the screen. And they're like, oh, they're about to open that door, because the rest of it is kind of like. That was what it was like with her hair extensions. Yeah. I didn't remember that they cut her hair until I saw her hair extensions, and I'm like, oh, right. That's the part of the screen that's about to get animated. Cut her.
So, yeah, so she's like, can't go. I have nothing to wear. I have a unibrow. And then little Anna Paquin was hiding behind the door.
And she stepped out like,
you.
Surprise, bitch. I thought you'd seen the last of me.
She's like, I'm Mackenzie Seiler, hair and makeup.
Hair and makeup.
He's like, see all that I do for you?
I cleaned your house. I brought my sister. She's here. Everyone's here for you.
She's here. Everyone's here.
And then
here.
That.
So you go upstairs while I wash this peanut butter off my hands. When her brother high fives him and he just had his like arm elbow deep in peanut butter and then high fives him and then he just comes back with peanut butter in his hands. And then when he holds up the dress, do you notice he's like very carefully not getting peanut butter on it? It's so silly.
The sound that their hands make when he high fives with the peanut butter.
Oh, and they slap. Oh, it's so gross.
It's so visceral.
It's so good. It's so good. Oh my god. Okay, so then Q. So then she gets a makeover. She gets the makeover.
Kiss me.
The makeover. So she gets the makeover. Mackenzie Seiler cuts her hair, is like, you trust me. You should trust me. And And then she comes. Oh, okay. So when she's about to come down the stairs, when Anna Paquin is introducing her, did you hear the line where she's like introducing the new?
Not improved.
She said, not improved, just different. Lainey Boggs. I was like, I like
and
that.
And that is third
Thank
wave.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Maybe that was part of the cultural context that we missed earlier. I feel like this movie feels like a reaction in a lot of ways to like. Early 90s stereotypes of women. Maybe it didn't challenge, it challenged a few stereotypes of men, but it challenged certainly a lot of stereotypes of women, and that might be something. I feel like, because there's a few things that they, you know, pepper throughout it, that she doesn't really change. She doesn't change at her core. She just gets a makeover, which is kind of, to me, sends the message of like, you know, the person that Zach kind of falls in love with is like, it's constantly the same person, it's just with a different like font.
It's different font, but it's just like, it's, she was hiding. I like the idea that she was hiding behind her glasses and her unibrow.
This is literally the nerd girl like fantasy
to emotionally close.
It truly is
emotionally closing herself off from people, because if you have glasses and if you have a unibrow, you're not approachable.
Because the glasses and unibrow form a wall. An emotional wall.
They form a wall to hide your beautiful eyes. So no one can see them and no one can fall in love with them. And then you don't have to be vulnerable in front of them, you know?
Solution.
Yeah. So she comes down the stairs in her red pumps and her pantyhose. I was a little upset that she was in the pantyhose, but also
that was a point of contention for me. This sheer skin-colored pantyhose over... because it's fine. It's fine if you have a closed-toed shoe. But if you're showing off the little little piggy wiggies, you gotta... You can't have, like, a little cage keeping them, you know, captured. It's so weird.
I know. What else happens?
So Lainey had just had the chat in the basement with her dad. And then he goes, you know... life is full of opportunities, and if you don't take them, life might pass you by. And so I think you should go to prom with that young man who's waiting upstairs. And she goes, and then she goes upstairs, but it's not Freddie Prinze Jr.
It's not Freddie Prinze Jr. She thinks it is. She hopes it is. Mm-hmm. It's Dean.
It's Dean. Paul Walpacher. And then he hits her with the, he's standing there. This, like, mid-20-year-old guy playing a teen. Freaking hot as hell. He's standing there in a freaking tuxedo. And he's like, Lainey, would you go to prom with me? I didn't ask anyone else on the off chance that you would go to prom with me. And he looks so convincing. So, so gentle. A liar! He
looks at her in her art smock and her big flared pants and chunky shoes and is like
sensible heels.
You don't even have to change.
Yeah,
you don't even have to change if you don't want to. And she laughs.
And she's like, "Haha, bet I already have a dress."
So yeah. So then they go to prom. She says yes. They go to prom, and you see this prom. It's obviously like a movie prom where everything is a high budgeted prom.
But for some reason, also in the front entryway of the high school.
Was it the high school? I thought it was a
They were
like a
decorating
hotel.
It earlier in the scene.
Oh, yeah, you're right, you're right.
In that scene where Walpacher exposes the bet, and then he, like, and then she runs away.
Oh,
that's
you're right.
They're in, like,
it just, to me, looked like a hotel room. A hotel room. It looked like a hotel ball, banquet hall. So I just assumed. But anyways, yes, so it's at the school because you're right, they were decorating it. Also, throughout this entire thing, there are no teachers around ever. The only really time we see teachers or parents, barely, barely. Which
I made a note of that.
Obviously,
too.
I know. Obviously, we know that's not realistic, but I kind of like it because it's like it's not about parents necessarily. It's all these kids who are like living their own lives and like I know, like doing their own stories, however unrealistic and crazy they are, but. But still, it's a choice and it's fun, whatever. And then, so the only teacher we ever really see is Lainey's art teacher, who comes in at the right moments, who says, like, the perfect things where she's like, Lainey, open yourself up. Lainey, whatever you did, the thing that you just submitted about your mom, that piece is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen you ever do.
Whoever made you open up like that, don't let them go. A little pointy,
yeah,
though,
Lainey's
right?
like, Lainey's like, oh no, she's seen me.
And then there's the Zach's little sister meets Jesse. And we see that, and then we see Dean in the bathroom bragging to a random group of guys that he rented this room at a hotel, and he's going to take Lainey back there, and they're going to do it.
They're going to do it. They're do the do. We also completely bypassed the fact that there's a full choreographed dance scene.
Oh my God, how could I forget?
I like the way that they justify it by having Usher, who is the school DJ.
That's a whole other line of inquisition that I have about this movie is why, first of all, why is our school DJ, who looks like he's about mid-30s, and why is he omnipotent? Why does he know everything that's going on?
Doesn't he have class? Yeah. But I like how they justify the choreographed dance by having Usher say, remember that dance I taught all of you?
Yeah, do that dance I taught you all earlier. And they go, you bet, Usher. Here we go.
And then they go,
check it out now. The funk soul rubber. And again, that is a very long scene. It goes on for so long.
It's such a long choreographed scene. It's so long. But yeah, so there is that. And like, again, so campy, but so enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. A little Grease moment.
Like, a little Grease moment. I love that the main actors are doing it. Like, Freddie Prinze Jr. definitely did not.
Yeah.
Either it's a choice to have Zach not fully committed because he's too busy, like, looking at Lainey. Lainey's not the best at the dancing because it's Lainey. She can barely walk. Lainey. What makes you think she can dance?
And they also put her in the world's longest, like, dress. That when you see her standing there, the tail on her dress, like, the trail on her dress is, like, a full 4 inches on the ground all around her. Including the front.
Yeah, it's very long. She's the smallest girl. I know, she's the smallest girl with the longest pants and dress and everything.
I loved her prom look.
Oh, I loved her prom look.
Yeah,
it was so sleek. Mm-hmm. It was good. I love it.
Sparkles. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to change. Shut up, I'm changing. And then
she's like, shut up, I didn't buy this dress for nothing.
I thought I was going with Freddie Prinze Jr., but Paul Walker will do.
That's fine. Yeah, so then Jesse is in the bathroom when he overhears Walpocker talking about taking Lainey back to the hotel room, and then he runs and he goes and tells Mackenzie Seiler that mm-hmm. Dean is planning on doing the do with Lainey, and then
he can barely get it out because he has asthma.
But he has asthma because he ran and he's a little bit chubby.
Oh
and
my god, the
she,
tropes.
She's like, tell me, what is it? And he's like, I'm sorry. And then they go, and as they're going to run to tell Zach, they're announcing prom king and queen.
Yes, so these two things are happening concurrently.
Simultaneously. The drama. The high stakes. Ah! So Zach obviously wins prom mm-hmm. king. Everyone is happy. Naturally. And then it's between Taylor and Lainey, and it's the closest contest there's ever been in this school's history, which is so funny.
So funny, because that means they've been recording it somewhere and comparing it to previous years.
Really just good. Like a little really book that's stuff. Like, this girl, this many votes. This girl, this many votes. Like, this is what you guys care about? This is a school, this is an education institution.
Yeah, but where we see exactly zero classes aside from art school and hacky sack.
Yeah,
class.
Literally zero. Hacky sack. Hacky sack.
Sack.
And then it's Taylor. Taylor wins prom queen, and it's deserved.
Ugh. Fine.
Paul Walker says to her, that should have been you up there, Lainey. And Lainey, so demure. Wise. So demure, so wise. She's like, I think the right person won. And he's like, wow. Do you want to get out of here? So they start leaving. And then Jesse and Mac are interrupting Zach during his speech. And this kid is still panting. He cannot get it out. What I don't understand is that he clearly told Mackenzie. Mm-hmm. They go and they run up to Zach. And she's like, tell him, breathe, tell him. But he can't get it out. And then she just ends up being the one telling him. She just ends up being the one telling him. And then he runs. And I'm like, oh my god, he has to go run and, like, find Lainey? Like, the stakes seem like it's basically implying that, like, Dean's going to take advantage of her.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's crazy. he has to go run instead of just be like, oh, well, I know my friend well enough that, like, he's not going to sexually assault her.
But if, like, because if not, what was the impetus for that amount of, like, what's that word when you're, like, really rushed to do something and you're like, what was the urgency if not that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because then it can't just be like, oh, well, Lainey can't go have her first time with Dean because it should be with me. It was just like, I just feel like they're, I mean, obviously, this is us talking in 2021 and not back in the 90s when it was made for its time. But, like, it could have easily just been something else, you know?
Yeah.
not the looming
threat of sexual assault.
Yeah. Yeah. Luckily,
that's a point of contention for me with this movie. I'll touch on it later.
Luckily, thankfully, they do not show him making the moves on her. It's just they cut to her going home.
Oh, okay, so yeah, so the way you see it is, you see Freddie Prinze Jr. riding all around town in his Range Rover, which is yellow for some inexplicable reason, and he's calling all the hotels being like, do you have a so-and-so staying in this hotel room? It's 409. Do you even have a hotel room 409? And then they hang up on him, and he's like, jeepers, creepers! Keeps driving, and then, like, eventually, he can't find it, obviously, so he ends up going to, you know, you cut to Lainey walking in her front door. She's a little bit sedate. She's a little quiet. She walks in. She closes the door behind her. Her dad goes, her dad and her brother are sitting over on the couch. He goes, hey, Lainey, did you have a good night? She was like, yeah, you're right. I did have fun. Hey, you're right. I did have fun. Thanks for your advice, Dad. Anyways, I'm going to hit the hay. And he goes, wait a second, Lainey. You might want to come into the living room. She walks into the living room, and the camera POV is Lainey. So as Lainey comes around the corner, who does she see standing in her very own living room? Zach. Motherfucking Siler.
I like the idea that he's been there the whole time. The dad and the brother are talking on the couch, and like the brother's falling asleep. And Zach's just standing,
not even
watching
sitting.
Them the entire time. Not even sitting, just standing and be like, so what time do we think Lainey's gonna come home? And the dad's like, this is this shaped pool.
This is a kidney shaped pool.
He's like, hey, wake up. You gotta learn this.
Wake up, there's going to be a quiz on this later.
Like, literally the entire time the brother and the dad are going through that, Zach Siler's just standing there watching and just worrying, like...
Hands in his pockets.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, Lainey comes around the corner.
Lainey comes around the corner. She comes home. He asks her, are you okay? Oh, the dad also was like, okay, bye. You guys should talk, I guess. Okay, take bye. This outside. Take this outside, he says.
Yep.
So they all go upstairs. The little brother apologizes to Zach for calling him an asshole. I'm like, really? He didn't even say sorry to you. He barely has made up. It's too soon, Simon. It's too soon.
Yeah, let it breathe a little, Simon.
Yeah. Yeah, let him prove his worth again, bro.
Yeah. But okay, so out of this whole situation of the implied attempted sexual assault of Lainey by Dean, which is what it is, then we see, like, Zach's kind of like, I heard what was going to happen, essentially. Yeah. And she was like, oh, don't worry. I just found out a little too late. Which is a little bit of a cryptic thing to say, and I didn't really know exactly what that meant. But then she says, oh, you know, sexual assault is a real problem. Sexual harassment is a real problem these days. And luckily I carry around this, and she pulls out this, like, foghorn out of her purse.
This tiny baby foghorn.
So hilarious. She's like, I put it right next to his ear. I hope he can ever hear again. Ha ha, hee hee.
And she goes, hee hee, and then, like, walks outside into the backyard.
And then they do not talk about it again.
He's like, wow, she can hold her own. Cool. So I'm
no
just
more thoughts spared to that.
No more thoughts.
Okay, Lainey, your attempt at sexual harassment. Anyways, can we get the fairy lights on in this backyard? And the dad, like, he's like, can I have the last dance? And Lainey goes, no. Everyone pauses for dramatic effect. She goes, you can have the first. Kiss me under the bearded violet.
What does that mean to you? Can I have the last dance? Because he's saying the last dance of the night, and she's saying the first?
Maybe the first one that matters? Maybe that's what she means?
Oh, true, 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 true. I didn't think of that. I was the first one of their lives?
Oh my god, their lives together?
Oh my
god. At art school?
Oh my god, so he's like, what are you gonna do next? And she's like, art school? And he's like, yeah, me too. Zach Siler, you got into Harvard, you're gonna follow this girl to art school? What are you, fuck?
You got into Princeton,
you got into
Yale.
You got into Yale,
I can literally see.
You got into Dartmouth and Harvard.
You're basically pulling your hair out right now at this theoretical scenario. You're like, why would you do this, Zach? I'm on your dad's side.
I'm on your dad's side, don't have to go to Dartmouth, but like fucking Harvard is knocking on the door and you're like...
By the way,
go do performance art,
right? He was like low-key joking about it, but then I was like, but seriously, Zach, this is your future. I didn't know this until I watched it, but the other night, but the dad is actually like the head of the fraternity in Animal House.
Oh, I've never seen Animal House.
It's like, I mean, you can probably live without it. You probably know exactly what it's about, like, just from looking at the poster for it. But basically, he's, like, the lead, like, the head debaucher, if that's a word, of the movie. And so, like, that line where he's, like, just because... Zach is like, oh, just because I could go to Dartmouth doesn't mean I can, like, correct your mistakes, Dad. And the dad was like,
ooh,
that is not what I meant, blah, blah, blah. And then gives him this very, like, sober speech about, like, how he should do what he wants, even though nothing that he's done up to that point has given him that message.
Yeah, like,
whatever.
Yeah.
Consistency? Who needs it? Not me.
Didn't ask for it. This is not what this is about. This is about two hot people looking at each other a lot.
You just summarized the plot.
But that's it. And then they laugh. He's talking. He's repeating back to her the words she said during her performance art piece. He's saying, be silent, be still. And she says, shut up and kiss me. And then they kiss, and then the camera comes all the way up, and you think it's over.
Roll credits.
No.
Oh, psych.
Oh, she asks him, she's like, hey, Zach? Yeah. What were the terms of the bet? And he's like, oh, you'll see, I never back down from a bet.
And then
what's the thing? What's the thing, Molly? What does he have to do?
Guys, it's not a big deal. All he does is... All he has to do is attend his high school commencement ceremony, butt ass naked, except for his graduation cap and a volleyball covering his wiener.
His
a volleyball? Wiener. Volleyball? Not even a. Wait, was it a soccer ball? That would have made more sense. I don't know sports.
I think it was a soccer ball. I don't know.
Okay, that makes more sense.
It was a soccer ball. So it wasn't like the classic black and white soccer ball, but.
Yeah, so they're calling out everyone's names. They call Zachary Seiler, and he stands up, and he's holding the ball in front of his balls, if, I guess. And
his
dinky? Then he's like, his dinky, his...
He got upset I said dinky? You're so
he's sh- holding the soccer so ball sh- in front of his meat and potatoes, and he goes and walks up on the stage, and then... And then you just see Lainey sitting in the crowd, bewildered. Ugh, what a free spirit, this Zach Seiler. And then she's, like, laughing. And then all of a sudden, she catches the soccer ball.
He throws the soccer ball at her, which means...
He threw the soccer ball at her, which means he is fully exposed on the stage at his graduation.
And making it very intentional that, like, this is my dinky for you. And she's just laughing,
Lord.
And, like, clutching. She's just laughing
she puts
and clutching
it
the...
so close to her face.
She puts
and holds it
underneath
it there for
her chin.
Just a minute. Just a second too
she,
long.
She, like, holds it. She, like, brings it up to her face and holds
Queen.
It against her chin.
Queen, that's a wiener ball at this point. You take that away from your
One,
face.
That soccer ball's already filthy. Two, your boy's just got his dick on it.
Oh, Lord. Soccer ball? More like sack or ball. Am I right?
But that's how the movie ends. It pans up from that,
that's
and then
it
that's
ends.
It. Kiss me. That's how this movie ends.
Oh, roll credits.
Oh, roll credits on this absolute masterpiece of a film.
What a treat.
What an absolute treat. So, yeah. So, the trope of this movie, I don't know if we mentioned it before, but it's the bet. So... As we go along, as we talk about more rom-coms, we'll identify the tropes that they use. So this one is clearly, like, the bet slash the makeover one. Like, quirky, nerdy, loser girl gets a makeover.
Or boy.
And then... Or boy.
So oh, we stay within cisgender guidelines, of course.
Yeah. Gets a makeover and then is now suddenly hot and is the it girl and is she's all that. Also, one of the things that I wanted to tell you before is that do you know that they're remaking this movie, but it's called He's All That? The look on your face is so funny. And you know who's the girl
more.
In it?
Say more.
I don't know much because I literally just found out before I called you.
Okay.
But you know who's
new information.
You know who's in it? Some person named Taron Buchanan. I think he is the he and he's all that. And then Addison Monroe, who is the Addison Monroe or Addison Rae?
The TikToker? Addison. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a TikToker by the name of Addison that I've heard of.
Yeah, I think it's her.
Okay, she's making her way into movies.
I guess so, but I was like, oh, I don't care about these people.
That's right, everyone. Gear yourselves up. This 2022, a pale comparison of the original She's All That, is coming to theaters near you. Oh. We're all very excited. Yes.
But yeah, that's what I found out. Those were all of the big news things that I found out, that Freddie Prinze Jr. is Puerto Rican, and they're remaking She's All That to He's All That.
Okay.
Also, this guy's already, like, super hot. This young kid is already
They have to Rachel Lee Cook him. They have to give him bad extensions and, like, shitty glasses and a monobrow.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll give him zits.
Oh, no. What could be worse?
But, yeah, I wonder if
I get so fired up about how, like... Oh, God. Okay, this is probably not the time for my soapbox, but, like, I'll keep it short. I get really fired up that the idea of, like, the like, Western beauty ideal has not changed and is so inflexible to the point where you can literally say, oh, acne, glasses, monobrow, nerd. Not any of those things. Must be a hottie. You know what I mean? It's so annoying. Yeah. It's like this two-lane highway. Do you remember that
TikTok trend where they were having, it was like...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people were dressing up as, like, with glasses and dorks and, like, a unibrow, like, painted on unibrow and acne and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the song would change and then they would be a hot person.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people were like, I have so glasses and braces.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I'm less hot.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Fuck you, dude.
Literally, fuck. Ugh, that thing is so, it's so annoying, too, because it's like, the person who's doing it is clearly like, look, I'm all for self-confidence and self-love. Yeah. But like, low-key, you're putting down an entire like group of people, anyone who has glasses and or braces and or like acne, to be like,
yeah,
but don't worry, I'm hot underneath it all. Don't worry, it was makeup. I don't look
like that.
Don't worry, you don't have to actually look at that. That would be so crazy. This
one eyebrow drawn on. But that's that She's All That.
Back then.
I love this movie. I love this movie. Mm-hmm. I will always love this movie. I will always love Freddie Prinze Jr. Because he has seemed to maintain his unproblematic ways.
Unproblematic king and queen, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Your favorite straight couple.
Yes. My all-time favorite celebrity straight couple, Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr.
Well-deserved, because they're great. Yes.
And he is now a celebrity chef, also. Did you know that?
Oh, yes, I did know that.
It's all over his IG. And there was something else I was going to add to that. I have two things to add. Okay. One of them is that I saved my favorite line from the whole movie, and I wanted to share it with you. And it was, if Zach shows up to that party with Lainey, Taylor is going to ship frisbees. That was the line. And it just came out of nowhere, and it was my favorite line.
Oh, shit frisbees.
And I remember what the second thing was going to be. The second thing, my second point is that, like, takeaway, is that this movie is so iconic that it started the trend of the slow descend down the staircase. It was, like, not the first to do the makeover trend, but it was, like, one of the most iconic in the 90s. And also, even considering it was, like, late 90s, it was the tail end of the decade, and I would still consider it one of the most iconic, partially because it was paired with that song. And also, it is so iconic that they made a parody of it.
Yeah.
Which is not a complete shot-for-shot remake, but it's called Not Another Teen Movie. And if anyone who's listening to this hasn't seen it, please go watch it. But first watch She's All That, because the scene where Zach Seiler is pulling up to his parking spot and walking in the school and basically making out with the picture of himself that's on the wall, then turns and, like, smiles at the camera, that is almost shot for shot in the parody with Chris Evans.
With Chris Evans. That's a big thing, is that Chris Evans is the Freddie Prinze Jr. of that movie, and it's like you combined Freddie Prinze Jr. and Paul Walker's bodies together.
Wow. It's like it's like one of Tina Belcher's fantasies.
Yeah, truly. Cuz then it's like it's Chris Evans super hot, super ripped, not like I think Captain America hot, but still super hot.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
He's the one who
let's not get ahead of ourselves and start stratifying different phases of Chris Evans, okay? We don't want him to hear this and write us off completely.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm a real casual fan of Chris Evans. Never mind.
Yeah, no, no. We don't even, I mean, like, we don't even really know what he looks like, so.
Yeah, The Parody is a great, great movie. I was trying to figure out if we could talk about it as well, but I'm glad we're talking about it now.
Yes. It's very much, what else do they, it's like a mashup of She's All That and American Pie and a couple other movies, but I can't remember.
Yeah, because it was all like, because around the 90s and early 2000s was when all of these teen movies were happening, or like even the 80s. And then that's why it's called Not Another Teen Movie, because like that movie came out, what, like 2004, 2005?
Yeah.
Mid-aughts. And it was definitely because after, I feel like, within, I think She's All That was like kind of the tail end of that, or like kind of beginning. I just said like the end or at the beginning or the middle, like literally all of the parts. Fuck.
It definitely took place within that time frame.
Yeah, sure. I just can't remember
for sure definitely
when those
took place
teen,
at some time.
Yeah, that style of teen movies started and when it ended, but definitely Not Another Teen Movie. It's not just about that. It's You're right. It's got American Pie because of all of the...
Because they couldn't resist.
Can't resist.
Can't resist it.
Got all that... Yeah.
Not the pie.
But that's it. That's the first one. We did the first one. It was a little chunky and a little... all over the place because we were having... A little girthy. We were having some technical difficulties. We literally took a snack break. Just truly, like, shoving Cheez-Its and chips into our...
Made sure we were hydrated.
Took a pee break too. So it's only gonna get better from here. The more we do it. I'm very excited to do this with you.
Me too. I'm so happy to be here.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
What does this voice sound like?
I don't know who I'm impersonating. I just know that I am.
Well, whatever it is, it's good.
Thank you.
It's good, whatever
yes,
it is.
Yes, and?
No, not here, not in our safe space. Yes, and me.
Oh. Okay, Molly, where can they find us
right.
for updates?
So make sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. We're called VomCom, V-O-M-C-O-M. And you can also follow us on Instagram at VomCom Podcast.
Where can they follow you?
Me, personally. Leave
you
me
personally.
Alone. Just kidding. You can follow me on, you can follow me on TikTok if you want. That's my big platform. I'm called Molly the Witch, at Molly the Witch on TikTok. Or you can follow me at molly.mca on Instagram. And I got a link tree on both of those if you want to just be completely obsessed with me. Oh, no, please don't.
Hell yeah. A link tree. Oh, my God. What a professional. She has a link tree, y'all.
I know. I'm an internet personality because, you know, I got a few. I had, like, one viral TikTok and kind of lost my mind, so I made a link tree.
As you should. Mm-hmm. As you should. For me, you
How
can
about you?
Follow
yeah.
me. Yeah, for me, you can follow me on TikTok, too, if you want. It's Catherine Ram on TikTok. On Instagram, I am It's Catherine Ram. And also, I have another podcast called You Should Check Out with my other good friend, Jason. It's a fun time. Cool. Follow us wherever you get your podcasts. We also have an Instagram called YSEO Podcast. And that's it.
Yay. Good job, buddy.
Good job to you, my sweet, sweet friend. Should we play ourselves out with our rendition of Kiss Me?
Yes. Okay. I hope we don't copyright it for being so on cue. We're going to be so on. Me. Let me just Kristen Chenoweth. Kiss me.
Okay, bye. I love you.
Okay, bye, bye.
I am fond of you, you know.
And a girl?
I often wish you weren't such a stinker.